There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Welcome to College Football Live. He's Dan Orlovsky, Andre Ware. I'm Jason Fitz. One of us was not a quarterback. I'll let you guys figure that one out. We are 29 days away from the start of college football, and Florida and Miami are getting practice underway, so we figured this is the perfect time to go all Florida all day. Take a look at the state of college football in the state of Florida. Dan Mullen finished 10-3 last year with Gators, but they also lost to Kentucky. Meanwhile, Florida State and Willie Taggart had an abysmal 5-7 season. So, both coaches are under the microscope. Here's what Dan Mullen said about motivation on Thursday.
I certainly hope we still play with a chip on our shoulder. You know, I hope we have that chip on our shoulder. We look at last year and say, boy, there was a lot of great things happened last year, and there were a bunch of things that weren't great. And that you look at that and say, hey, you know, there are some things we needed to be a lot better at last year, and we have that chip on our shoulder to kind of, get that back. You know, there were, in the three games that we didn't win last year, that we have a chip on our shoulder about those three games, because, and they were all three very different reasons to keep a chip on your shoulder of, you know, on our performance and how we did not perform, to our level of expectations in those games. And, so hopefully we keep that a little bit of a chip on our shoulder and a little bit of an edge to us as a team.
We put that behind us a long time ago. Only time we talk about it when we be asked about it, but, we put it behind us, and it's 2019. I don't think it's fair to our 2019 team to continue to talk about 18's team. You know, we put that behind us. We learned from our mistakes, the things that cost us to be the way that we were, and we've been working on it diligently since then to make sure we correct those things and don't do the same things that we've done before.
All right, Andre, define what a successful season would be for Willie Taggart in Florida State this year.
Well, I think it's getting to a bowl game. They have to get to a bowl game to quiet the critics, so to speak. The alums are getting restless. I mean, the thing about Willie Taggart, though, is everywhere he's been, Western Kentucky, South Florida, he's improved as a football team and as a football coach in each of those trips, each of those places. So I expect Florida State to be better. I have them at least getting to 6-6, maybe a seventh win in there, but they will definitely be an improved football team this fall.
Dan, is that really enough, though? 6 wins, 7 wins for a program like Florida State?
Well, as long as they're playing good football, that's a big part of it. They've got to restore some of the lure that we've known Florida State for a long time. Listen, he brought on Kendall Briles to be his offensive coordinator, and that's a good mesh for this Gulf Coast offense. So the fans of Florida State, they want to see good offensive football. So that's a big step for this team. Who's going to play quarterback? Is it Blackman? This defense has got a lot of people back, but they're going to get tested week one. And they have Boise State week one. They play Virginia week three on the road. So I would say get the alumni, get the fans settled down just a little bit and at least have the arrow pointing in the right direction.
I think as well, Dan, you made a good point at the top. They've got to close the gap on Clemson. I mean, last year they took a 59-10 whipping from the Tigers. That is a game and a program in which they've got to close the gap. Not saying they're going to do it this year or maybe even in 2020, but they've got to start to make that game competitive if they're going to compete for conference championships. And that in itself will bring back the fans, will get fans more interested in the program.
And everyone needs to understand, too, with Willie Taggart, if you look at his track record, like you kind of mentioned, Andre, he's not a quick fix guy. He is a builder of a program. So I understand the expectations since they are Florida State are so high, but you've got to see how they play football this year, what impact it has on recruiting. If Blackman takes a step forward as the starting quarterback and plays really good, those are all things that if you're a fan base and you start to play good and you're scoring 40 points a game, we're on the right track.
All right, Dan. So let's take the same question then to Dan Mullen in Florida. What do you see as sort of defined success for them?
Yeah, I mean, they better sniff the SEC East crown. This is a team that, first of all, at quarterback took a huge step forward with Felipe Franks and his performance last year. They ran the ball well, but they've got to survive a brutal October. That's going to be a big part of them. And their defense is going to have to carry their football team. But they better get in the conversation, at least with Georgia, to win the SEC East. And Felipe Franks needs to take a big step forward again.
Yeah, I'm in a total agreement there when it comes to Felipe Franks. The thing that he has working on his side is he's the unequivocal quarterback and leader of this program now. There were questions about a year or so ago at times during the season or early in his career whether or not he was going to be the type of quarterback that was recruited out of high school. And I think under Dan Mullen, the quarterback whisperer, he's starting to show those flashes. He needs to become a 60% passer or better for this offense to churn out yards consistently. They need a 1,000-yard rusher. It's where they struggled a little bit last year rushing the football to take some pressure off the quarterback position. And then when you look at it as well, he needs to run for over 500 yards because of the physicality in which Dan Mullen likes to play that position. He told me this offseason that he's just about got Felipe to buy in to the physicality part of the quarterback position in his offense. We'll see this fall if he's bought in and totally on board.
Well, there are more than just two schools in Florida, so let's open up the conversation a little bit to the entire state. We'll shift the focus over to the Hurricanes' new head coach, Manny Diaz. Diaz caught up with our College Football Live crew earlier this week.
What are you doing right now with the players to bring back that old Miami swag?
Yeah, well, you know the answer to this question. The swag came from preparation. So swag is confidence, right? What makes me confident? Being prepared. And I think the thing that has disappointed most of the alumni, and myself included, is we didn't always compete. You watched a year ago, for whatever reason, we didn't have that competitive spirit that Miami teams have. So when we came as a staff in 2016, defensively, our goals were simple. We didn't care about yards, points, whatever. We said we want to play like the Miami Hurricanes.
So, Dan, with that being said, what do you think the ceiling is for the Hurricanes this year?
Very good football team. They could absolutely get to 9 or 10 wins. Obviously, they have a really difficult start with Florida week one. They got to go on the road against Pittsburgh. They get Virginia Tech at home. Their schedule isn't brutal. Here's the biggest thing for them. Who's going to play quarterback? We've been asking that question since Ken Dorsey was there. So that's a big step for them. But they have so much talent on this football team, especially offensively. They have Jeff Thomas at wide receiver, Brevin Jordan at tight end, D. Wiggins at wide receiver. So who's going to answer the quarterback question? But there's so much talent on this offense. The defense is absolutely loaded, and they kept Manny Diaz, so the system's going to stay in place. This is a schedule that sets up for them to win 9 or 10 games.
Yeah, I agree with you. I got them at 8-4 to finish the year because of a couple of tough games. Virginia Tech, they go on the road to a Duke team that they lost to a year ago. But I think Tate Martell, when he gets going in this new spread coast, you got the Gulf Coast offense down at Florida State. You got the spread coast offense now at Miami under Dan Enos. It should be fun to watch. And Tate Martell fits it. I think he wins this job and gets the Hurricanes on the radar of college football again. But a tough, tough schedule as Manny Diaz tries to build this in his first year. Not any pressure like Willie Taggart's going to have down at Florida State with it being his first year. But he's got to build it and have a respectable first season at Miami.
And to your point, Andre, there is some pressure, though. I mean, they went and spent some money to go and pull him back away from Temple. You know, I understand that Tate Martell transfers in from Ohio State and there's a little bit of unknown lore there. I did some Miami games last year, and there is some intrigue with Nikosi Perry. Like, he did some nice things on the football field in an offense that I was very critical of. I just don't know what his maturity level is like off the field, as is he growing up. I also wouldn't discount Jaren Williams, who was their young prized recruit. He wanted to transfer last year. He ended up staying. It's such a three-man race right now. Whoever runs Dan Enos' system the best and distributes to those talented guys is going to be their quarterback.
I think you guys are both, frankly, understating the pressure here, because let's remember Miami also decided they were going to build their roster in a different way by going so hard into the transfer portal. I think there's expectation that Manny Diaz come out and do it strong. Now let's broaden the scope of the rest of the state. Andre, I'll ask you, which team in Florida is going to win the most games this season?
I think it's UCF with Josh Heupel and the Golden Knights down in Orlando. They've got a schedule that sets up. If they can find the man at quarterback, whether it's Brandon Wimbush or Daryl Mack at quarterback, and once they settle in at that position, there are plenty of weapons to be successful. A lot of starters return on that side of the ball. Defensively, they're going to be good on that side as well. I think with the schedule that UCF has, they could get to 10 wins. The only losses I have on that schedule, Stanford and maybe a Cincinnati team that's going to be pretty good in the American, Dan.
UCF would be really good. They got three of their receivers back as well. I would say Florida. And I mentioned the schedule before. And look, if we're looking at UCF's schedule, Stanford's going to be a tough game. Pittsburgh's going to be tough on the road. On the road at Cincinnati, to your point, Andre, is going to be difficult. Houston's going to be really good. So the American Conference is going to be, again, strong. But I would choose Florida. Obviously, August 24th is a big game. But I look at October. They have Auburn. They're on the road at LSU. They're on the road at South Carolina. And then basically October, first week in November, they have Georgia. If they can survive that, not only really survive, but thrive in that month and play their best football within that month, I can see this team, again, challenging Georgia for the SEC East title. Here's the biggest question for this football team. They have to rebuild the offensive line. So how does the offensive line play, and to your point, Andre, help the run game? And then can their defense be the absolute backbone of the football team? Their defense needs to be kind of what Mississippi State's was last year, 15, 16 points a game. They gave up 20 last year as a defense. If they can ride their defense, Florida should be a very good football team if they rebuild that offensive line.
I mean, Dan, I understand what you're saying. I could make the argument that Florida might be the best team, but it's hard for me to see them winning more games with that schedule, especially with teams like LSU and Georgia on the schedule. To Andre's point, it looks to me like UCF has the easier walk to get to the most wins. The question is, will the college football community care no matter how many games UCF wins?
We just don't know what UCF looks like really without Mackenzie Milton. You know, Brandon Wimbush had some really nice moments in Notre Dame, and Daryl Mack did a good job of playing in his place. But Mackenzie Milton's a special player, and we don't know what that offense looks like, certainly in this last 24-month era that UCF has had their success without Milton at the reins.
Well, we'll keep breaking down everything that the state of Florida has, including not just the teams, but the quarterbacks. What's better than talking about teams? We're going to talk about quarterbacks with former quarterbacks. We're going to do that next on College Football Live. And don't forget, ACC Network is coming August 22nd. Visit getaccn.com to check availability. If you don't see your provider listed, demand they carry ACC Network.
College Football Live is brought to you by State Farm. Talk to an agent today at 800-STATE-FARM.
We're breaking down college football from across the state of Florida on College Football Live. Dan Orlovsky, Andre Ware, I'm Jason Fitz. Obviously, if I've got a couple of quarterbacks, we're going to talk about quarterbacks. We've touched on this a little bit, but there's an interesting quarterback battle in Miami. And the question becomes, as we take a look at it, Dan, is this Tate Martell's job to lose in your mind?
No, not at all, because he hasn't done anything to deserve the top spot yet. I mean, Tate Martell was a highly touted recruit that went to Ohio State and lost out in that job battle with Dwayne Haskins. Haskins goes on to have a great year. They utilized Martell a little bit, certainly in short yardage situations down in the red zone. He was not a proficient passer, and then in a bunch of mop-up duty. But we don't know much about Tate Martell. What we do know is that there's three guys down there at Miami that are going to have an opportunity to play. Tate Martell, the athlete that we saw run around and make some plays for Ohio State last year when Dwayne Haskins had given them a huge lead or in running situations. Nakosi Perry, who started some games for Miami last year and had some good moments. And then Jaren Williams. The biggest thing with the quarterback battle down in Miami is this. Their head coach is Manny Diaz. He's a defensive coach. I promise you, defensive coaches want you to do one thing, protect the football. Whoever does that will be Miami's starting quarterback.
Yeah, I had the Hurricanes twice last year, and I saw the flashes with Nkosi Perry that you just discussed. I also saw him get benched at the end of the season as well. And Tate Martell is, you know, the new Ferrari that just parked itself in the garage. It fits a little bit better in that garage in Dan Enos's offense. They want to run the football. They want to be dynamic with the quarterback, from the quarterback position. He gives them that ability with his being the athlete that he is. As you mentioned it as well, highly recruited dual threat quarterbacks coming out of high school. Went to Ohio State, had some flashes there. I just think he fits what they want to do offensively at Miami a little bit better than more of the pro style quarterback that Nkosi Perry was in Mark Richt's offense.
Well, and gentlemen, let's remember at the end of the day, Manny Diaz was around Perry every day as a defensive coordinator last year, and he still went into the transfer portal and still actively recruited Tate Martell to come there.
Good point.
That has to mean something at some point. Now, Miami doesn't get to have all the quarterback fun. Florida State gets to have a battle of their own. So I ask you, Andre, when you look at the Tallahassee situation, should there be a quarterback competition there?
I think there's always competition, but you have a guy that's your favorite. James Blackman had his moments last year. He was a 64% passer in limited duty. He threw 5 touchdown passes, only 1 interception. That's what you want if you're Willie Taggart, a guy that can take care of the football, push it down the field, give you some explosion in the passing game, and he can move around a little bit. He spent the offseason building his body. He's a lot stronger. I think he came to college as like 167 pounds. He's up over 190 now. He is committed to his craft. He's committed to the program. And that's what you want as a head coach. You don't want to mess around with that a little bit because it's delicate, especially at that position, for a guy that's going to spend 1 year in your program.
I'm actually excited to watch James Blackman play for Florida State this year. I think he's a really good player. Remember, 2 years ago, he kind of burst on the scene and played as a true freshman, played relatively well. Here's the interesting part. Kendall Browse comes over to be their offensive coordinator. And so we know his Baylor background is going to be run, take shots down the field. James Blackman is a fantastic deep ball thrower, especially to Marion Terry as a wide receiver. They've got Alex Hornibrook, the transfer from Wisconsin, over. I just don't see the fit in this offense that wants the quarterback to be able to move just a little bit. And then they do, as we see Alex Hornibrook, like, he's had some success at Wisconsin, certainly was part of a dominant run game, but was never in any capacity a threat to run the football. And I know Willie Taggart still wants to have that as some part of his offense. So I just don't see the fit. I also would throw this guy's name into the conversation. Jordan Travis, as a transfer from Louisville. I did a Louisville game last year. Jordan Travis ended up playing at the end of the game, and he did some nice things. He's a threat athletically. He can throw the ball. He's transferred in. I do believe it's James Blackman's job to lose, but keep your eye on Jordan Travis.
Yeah, I agree there. When you look at what Florida State, where they need to get to in terms of getting bowl eligible, I think James Blackman certainly gives them that edge, or that leads them in that direction, no doubt about it.
Well, you guys have made great points, but I'm not sure you've really elicited great confidence in me if I'm Willie Taggart, who we earlier were questioning if he's coaching for better security in his job. I'm not sure they have an answer there that they feel comfortable getting to greatness with. We'll keep breaking it down across Florida as we have been all show. Coming up next, we're going to ask the guys to do what seems virtually impossible, build a dream team of all states, of all stars from across the state of Florida. We'll do that next.
Congratulations, you're on scholarship.
Remember who was with you in the beginning. Remember who was on the train. But doggone it, ain't it good to be winners again?
Debuting Monday, 30 episodes of Peyton's Place. Peyton Manning taking you all over with football's history and culture. Available only on ESPN+. You don't want to miss it. It's College Football Live. Jason Fitz, Andre Ware, Dan Orlovsky, and we've been taking you all through the state of Florida. Now we ask Dan, I'm going to ask you first to do the impossible. Put together your all-Florida best-of team from all time.
Well, you hit it on the head. It's impossible. There's so many good players. I went with Ken Dorsey at quarterback. Surrounded by a ton of talent, Warwick Dunn and Frank Gore at running back, Peter Warwick and Andre Johnson at receiver, Jeremy Shockey and tight end. But Peter Work was that dude in college. He was the gold chain wearing, deep threat receiving. He was the guy that we coined a dead leg from. Work Dunn was a generational running back, meaning he could play in any generation. It didn't matter. So many good players, but that was my offensive unit. No one's going to beat it.
All right, let's see. Andre, give us your offensive unit.
Yeah, I agree with Peter Warrick. He made my list as well because he had hiccup speed and quickness, could change directions at the stop, at the drop of a dime. But I don't know, Dan. The easiest part of this one was picking a quarterback, Tim Tebow. Two-time national champion, won a Heisman Trophy, then Emmitt Smith in the backfield, two Florida guys. But Tim Tebow gave Urban Meyer everything. Groundwork. He threw it well. Emmitt Smith on the ground became the NFL's all-time leading rusher. What a combination for Florida.
It's clear that Andre won on the offensive side. Let's look at Dan, your defense.
Well, obviously in the middle, I'm going with the big fella, Warren Sapp, and changed the defensive line and certainly the three technique position. Those linebackers were bad men. Jonathan Vilmer and Derek Brooks, super athletic. We got Prime on the back end and Sean Taylor, but Jonathan Vilma was, he hit me one time just like he's going to hit this Nebraska tight end underneath the chin and split my tongue in half. A loaded defense, but Vilma was such an impactful linebacker. I might have the best defense ever in college football with my guys.
Let's see, Andre, what did you put together for your defense?
Yeah, you could fill out the defensive side with just Miami players pretty much, with the exception of Prime, Deion Primetime Sanders. But, you know, you look at it, Ray Lewis, how can you leave him off your list? Along with Derek Brooks at from Florida State. Two playmakers, Cortez Kennedy and Jerome Brown at Miami. They were there before Sapp. So they got that whole defensive line thing started at Miami. What some players they had.
Oh, this is a spectacular list. I think we can obviously see here that Andre put together the better offense. Dan, you put together the better defense. It's a draw. We'll let the two of you be tied at the end of all of this.
Look at Prime tackling.
Oh, man, it's great stuff. Florida obviously getting underway today, hence the trip through all of it. You guys did a great job with the impossible there. Dan Orlovsky, Andre Ware, I'm Jason Fitz. The most important thing, Monday, come back 4:30 Eastern on ESPN2 for the next edition of College Football Live. Thanks for hanging out with all of us. Have a great weekend, everybody. It's a good list.
August 24th, who wins, Miami, Florida?
Florida.
Florida? Florida. Andre, who you got?
Florida.
Who you got?
I'm not telling you. I'll tell you August 25th.